Well, good morning once again. Well, on Mother's Day, we do a lot of things. We celebrate our mothers. We appreciate our moms. We reflect on the things that we've learned from our moms. And the reality is that probably all of us, if I just opened it up to share, all of us could share advice, guidance, even things that we've learned in life that we've learned thanks to our moms. And as a pastor, many people have shared with me over the years the powerful impact that their mom's words or actions or example has had on their lives. And as I was kind of preparing the message this week, I found a list of some words of advice from moms. But it was an interesting list because it was a list of things that you've never heard any mom ever say. Let me share with you a couple of things that advice no mom has ever given. Like this: how on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back? Or this: why don't you just leave all the lights on? It makes the house look more cheery. Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed it and walk it every day for you. Well, if Tim's mom said it's okay, then that's good enough for me. Curfew? Well, that's just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. I don't have a tissue with me, hon, so why don't you just use your sleeve? Finally, don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve. Well, we get wonderful examples from our mothers and many good words of advice. And today we're going to take a little break from our study of 1 and 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at some of the lessons that we find from some of the faithful mothers of the Bible. And as we explore the lives of these biblical moms, we'll see that their examples didn't just bless their own lives, but they had an incredible impact on the world around them. So let's explore together. We're going to start with Jochebed, a faith-filled mother. The first mom that we're going to meet this morning is the mother of Moses, and her name was Jochebed. And without her faith, there would be no exodus from Egypt, no parting of the Red Sea. I'm not even sure that there would be a nation of Israel. We find her story in Exodus chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 10 this morning. And the Bible tells us about her, and it says, "A man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it along the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. When Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, her attendants were walking among the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then the sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him up out of the water.'" For Jochebed, her life and her children's lives had known nothing but cruel slavery at the hands of the Egyptians. Not only did they build cities for Pharaoh, when their population grew too much and too rapidly, Pharaoh began exterminating Jewish children. Yet for the descendants of Abraham, There was faith that God would fulfill the promise that he had made through Joseph. At the very end of Genesis, chapter 50, verses 24 and 25, Joseph made this promise to the nation of Israel on his deathbed. And then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come up to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath saying, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones from this place." While many Jews had given up hope that God would fulfill his promise, Jochebed had not. And her faith moved her to action. She knew that her son needed time. And that's exactly what she gave him. And what we see in this narrative is that Jochebed's faith was rewarded, not just in the life of her son being spared, but God would use Moses to fulfill this promise that Joseph made to the Jewish people. Should Jochebed's faith surprise us? Well, not if we read the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we read this, "For we live by faith and not by sight." In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus, speaking to a father whose son was ill, said, "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible for one who believes." We talk about faith a lot in churches, but Jochebed is an example of what happens when someone lives out those faith, that their actions are moved by what they believe about God. It's one thing to come and to show up Sunday after Sunday. It is quite another thing to actually live that faith out. The faith of an enslaved woman changed the direction of two nations. It reminds us of the power of faith in an unlimited God. And that brings us to the second mom I wanted to look at, and that's Elizabeth, who was a hope-filled mother. The second mother that we're going to look at this morning was also looking forward to God fulfilling his long-standing promise. If you have your Bibles, jump over to Luke chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 39 to 45. When we meet Elizabeth, she's already pregnant, and she's pregnant with what we would know as John the Baptist, the forerunner of the coming Messiah. But Elizabeth is not just joyful and hopeful about her pregnancy, but also another pregnancy. And that's what we find in Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 39. It says this, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.'" The hope that Elizabeth had in God didn't just fill her life with joy, but the lives of the people who were around her. Don't believe me? Look at Mary's response to the hope-filled greeting of Elizabeth. We find it just a few verses later in verses 46 to 49. Look at what Mary prays. "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of a servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me in his holy name.'" It's interesting because when you read this narrative, Mary is willing to allow these things to happen. She says, "I'm the Lord's servant." But here, after spending time with Elizabeth, she isn't just willing, she is excited. She's filled with joy. She's filled with hope. Why? Because she was around someone who was filled with that same kind of hope. In other words, Elizabeth's joy and hope wore off on Mary. And Mary, from this point forward, is filled with hope and joy for what God is doing in her life. In other words, when we are hopeful, joyful people, sometimes we get others sick with hope and joy as well. This is what happens when we don't just have faith, but we have perspective-changing hope. It's one thing to believe something. It's another thing to let that belief change our actions and our attitude. And that's what we've seen here. Jochebed's faith changed her actions. She did something crazy because she believed that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. Elizabeth, hope and joy changed the attitude of Mary, the mother of the Messiah. And that's what happens to us as well. When we choose to have hope, hope fills our lives with good things. Psalm 62, 5 and 6 says this, "Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken." Those are the words of someone that's filled with hope. Not just that everything in life is going to work out for the best, but no matter what life presents, God is at work in it. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, Jeremiah is writing about all the difficulties in his life, yet he still has hope. This is what he writes. He says, "I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." I promise you, Jeremiah is not writing this in a banner time in Israel's history, but he still has hope, and that hope carries him through the difficulty. See, hope doesn't change our situation, but it allows us to have peace, contentment, and even joy through the seasons of life, both the good seasons and the difficult ones. And that brings us to the final mom that I wanted to look at this morning, and that's Hannah, a prayer-filled mother. The final mom that we're going to see this morning is Samuel's mother, Hannah. And the one thing that we see about Hannah over and over again is that she was a mom of prayer. And we find her story in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 to 17. Look at what God's word says about Hannah. It says, "Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair at the doorway of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. She had made a vow saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and do not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will be used on his head.' She kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, 'How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine.' 'Not so, my Lord,' Hannah replied. 'I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of the great anguish and grief.' Eli answered, 'Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." Well, for those of you who know the narrative of 1 Samuel, the Lord grants Hannah's request, and she has a son. But Hannah's prayers for her son didn't just end when he was born. They followed him through his life. In other words, Hannah didn't just pray to God to get what she wanted, and then as soon as God gave her what she wanted, she didn't talk to him again. No, we find out Hannah continually prayed to the Lord, both for herself, for her family, and for her son. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God.'" In other words, Hannah doesn't just pray to get what she wants here, because she prays this prayer as she's giving her son back to Eli so that he could live out his days serving the Lord. As she's handing over this great gift that God has given her, what is she doing? She's praying joyfully to the Lord. In other words, Hannah doesn't see the Lord as some great heavenly Santa Claus here to give us everything that we ask for, and when he doesn't, we get cranky with him. Hannah's a mom who prays and who means it. She's not praying to God for what she can get out of it. She prays to God out of faith and hope because she's been called to. The faithful prayers of Hannah remind us of what the Bible clearly tells us over and over again. We're called to be people of prayer. Hannah didn't just pray when it served her. Clearly, every time we meet Hannah, you know what she's doing? She's praying. And that's what we see in the Bible as well. Colossians 4:2 says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful." Romans 12:12 says this, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Listen, sometimes my prayer life is not what I want it to be. Sometimes I find myself only talking to God when things are difficult and tough. But the Bible presents a very different option. Prayer is meant to be part of our language, part of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. Why does prayer matter so much? Well, in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, we read this. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Hannah, no matter what was going on in her life, was a person of prayer in any and every situation. And God's peace was with her, through difficulty, through joy. She had the peace of the Lord in her life. Well, sometimes we read these narratives in the Bible, and you say, well, Pastor, that's great for Jochebed, and that's great for Hannah, and great for Elizabeth. These were incredible women of faith. But what about us? Can the prayers of a faithful mom still do incredible things today? Can faith and hope still change lives in our world today? Well, I think they can. I'm going to invite Brandon to come. And Brandon has been desiring to share his testimony with you. And I had to be honest, long before I had ever met Brandon, I had been praying for Brandon. I prayed for Brandon years before I ever actually saw you face to face. And the sole reason that I prayed for Brandon is because at prayer meeting, his mom would come and every single week update us. Hey, pray for him. Lift him up. And I know, and those of you who come to prayer meeting, you know what I'm talking about. We prayed for you long before you were up here at this pulpit.
I appreciate it.
And the Lord has been at work in your life because of the prayers of a faithful mom. And if you'd like, I'd love to allow you to share what God's been doing in your life.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Let me try this and see if it works. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Thank you. I'm glad that worked. I didn't know if you guys would catch on. So, I don't know. Everybody, my girlfriend and my mom has known that I've been stressing this for like the last 6 days. I didn't know if I wanted to write something, and you know, because I can make this long, I can make this short. I'm going to throw it right somewhere in the middle. I know that, you know, you guys know me from me coming here religiously for the last couple months. I've really enjoyed coming here. I know my mom has prayed for me. I know the whole church family has prayed for me, and I appreciate you guys for that. So some of you may remember my accident about 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years, 1 year ago, whatever. It was a while ago. September will be 2 years. And that is a great part of my story. You know, God literally saved my life. I wasn't supposed to make it. I'm not supposed to be here at all. Well, I am, because God, you know, ordained me to be here. But I'm not supposed to be here. The doctor said I wasn't going to make it, you know, and everybody prayed, and it didn't look good, and I made it. But that's not the biggest part of what brought me to this point that I'm at now. It's more than that. I was saved when I was 6 years old. My mom, my Aunt Dot was dying, and she did die, and I was upset. My mom was like, you know, if you accept Jesus into your heart, and, you know, you'll see her one day, you'll go to heaven. And at 6 years old, that sounded like a great idea. So I did it. I didn't understand what I was doing or why. I just knew that that's what she said I needed to do. And for years, I fought God, is the only way that I can put it. I refused to believe it. I mean, I went to church because I felt like I was forced to. I heard the word. I did everything I felt like I was supposed to do, but realistically, I didn't believe. Like, I knew there was something. So, like, a lot of people will say that they don't believe in God at all. I can't think of what the word is for that. But I always told people that I'm not atheist. I'm agnostic, which agnostic means to not know. It means that you know there's something greater than you. You just don't know what it is, and you don't know well enough to say that I know that it's God, or I know that it's Allah, or whatever other people, you know, worship. And so that's what I would say to make it easy, because I knew deep down that there was something. I just didn't know what. And, you know, I didn't want to just, you know, say that I was one, you know, Baptist or Catholic or whatever. I just would say I'm agnostic. I don't know, you know. And I lived like that for a long time. I also struggled with what I was going to say here today, because I don't know how to make this acceptable for a church setting. So I'll do it as easy as I can. In my past, I was a severely addicted person is all that I can say without going into detail. I mean, if you guys want to get with me afterwards, I'll tell you whatever you want to know. But for this setting, I'm going to tell you that I was very, very, very severely addicted to substances. And I know my mom prayed for me every day. My grandmother prayed for me every day. I'm sure my aunt prayed for me every day. Everybody prayed for me. And I just didn't, you know, I'd say thank you and then just, you know, whatever. You know, that's their thing. I'm fine. I'm having a blast. I'm doing my thing. And, you know, I've been to jail countless times. I've been to prison. I've been through the depths of what this world has to offer on the other side of it. And I used to always tell my mom that God is for people that go through something and then find God, and he saves their life, and they're like, oh, that was God. And, you know, that's why they believe. That's what I used to always tell her. And honestly, I do want to stand here and tell you that doesn't have to be the reason. For anybody here that's not saved or that doesn't believe, or if this is their first time, that doesn't have to be your reason for accepting Jesus into your heart. It doesn't. But if it is, then, you know, that's your reason. But he's real. That's all I can say, is that this is real. 100%. I mean, I feel like I had to go through the stuff that I went through. I beat the crap out of myself for years and years and years. I just beat myself up. I put myself through so much, not knowing that that was what I was going to have to go through to get to the point that I'm at now, that I can honestly stand in front of anybody and tell them that, yes, Jesus is the way. God is the way. You have to give up your what you want and give it up to God to show you what you need, to show you what, you know, what you truly deserve. And honestly, sometimes, you know, you do got to walk through the fire to get to where you're going. So my whole thing for this today, it originally wasn't to give my testimony, even though it is, you know, it is a good one, I guess I could say, without sounding too like self-centered. It is a good one. I know it is. But realistically, my mom went to a Brandon Lake concert a couple of weeks ago. And at the end, she said, you know, he said, if anybody wants to get saved or anything, or if anybody did, just raise your hand, let me know. And she said that people, there were people that had also rededicated their lives to Jesus. And I had never heard of such a thing. I was like, I'm already saved. But I thought about it and thought about it. And I went to Pastor George and I told him, I don't know if this is even something that we do, but I want to be held accountable for this. So I could have done it at home. I could have done it in the bathroom, in the shower, and just been like, hey, I'm rededicating my life to you. You know what I mean? But I know that the best thing for me to do is to have people witness it so that they can hold me accountable. Even if you don't say anything to me to hold me accountable, I know that you know. And me knowing that you know will hold me accountable to walk the walk that I'm claiming I want to walk in and to be the person that I'm claiming I want to be. So that's why I'm doing this today is I'm rededicating my life to the Lord. That is the truth. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Tom, can you come on up? And Harry, if you're able to get up these steps, can you come right up here?
Thank you.
Well, it is a wonderful thing. To come before the Lord and to receive the gift of salvation, which you've received. But it is another thing when we go from being saved to identifying with Christ. And that's really what dedication is identifying yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ. So as a congregation, we want to invite you guys to do as Brandon said, to keep him accountable, to check in. A shepherd looks after the sheep, especially sometimes sheep get a little wandery. We all do. but the shepherd brings them back. So we're going to pray over you, and as a congregation, I'm going to charge you to look after the sheep, who sometimes knows he can be a little wandery.
Yeah.
So let's come before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We have so much to celebrate, so many wonderful examples in our lives, and we are so blessed because of them. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you as we've looked at the mothers in our lives and even the examples of mothers outside of our lives who have demonstrated faith and hope and prayer. And, Lord, we're thankful for the many here who have lived out those things, who have faithfully prayed for Brandon throughout the years and walked with him even though he didn't know they were there. So Lord, I thank you for bringing him back, drawing him to you. Lord, we recognize your word says that every morning your mercies are new, and as far as the east is from the west is how far you separate us from our transgressions, Lord. And I thank you that you have shown yourself true in Brandon's life. And Lord, it is his desire to show himself true in his life as well, to walk faithfully with you. Some of those days are great, and some of those days are difficult. But Lord, I pray that you would be with him and that he would find many who would be willing to walk alongside him. And Lord, we'll give you all the thanks and praise for the good work that you do in his life and in our lives as well. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
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 Well, in just a few moments, we'll have Faye come up and close us with some praise and worship. But before we do, Sharon shared with us a song that had been meaningful and powerful to her through this journey, and it certainly has been a journey. So we're going to share that. The words are up on the screen, so if you want to sing along, you are welcome to do so.
This is the moment where everything see it was hard to believe. Heaven crashes to earth. you.